Blog Talk Radio.
right, Sister LaGracia, if you go to that conference ID and use that pin.
Where'd you leave your phone? At Major? Oh, wow.
Yep. I must have left it over there because that's the only place I've been. I just got to go get it out of class.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Hold on a minute. I'll be right with you guys. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can, Brother Miles.
Okay, I'll be right back. Let me make sure I got the correct pin for that for this room. All right. I'm back. Sister Lorraine is sick, so she won't be joining us this evening. And yes, she's I think she said she had the flu.
Oh, wow.
So she won't be here this evening. Sister LaGracia may be coming in. She was in the other room. Hopefully she got my text to join us in this room. So we'll give them a couple, not them, but we'll give her a couple of minutes. I don't think anybody's calling in. Hold on. Let me open up that site. Yeah, nobody's called in yet to the site, so they may just be us here, or they may come in later. Usually they do. How's everything been going with you two?
Pretty good. Good.
Whether you're both in different parts of the world now, I forgot, different parts of the nation. You didn't get hit by that any part of that hurricane, did you, Sister Mary, did you?
No, but it kind of made the weather here kind of cool.
It did?
Yeah.
Okay. And it's still kind of warm for you guys up there in Minnesota right now.
Sorry if I didn't hear you. I took my computer off the speaker.
Oh, okay. So is it still warm in Minnesota right now? Can you hear us, Sister Denise?
Yes, yeah, now I can. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it warm
I took my computer off for the Bluetooth.
Bluetooth?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it still warm up there right now?
It ain't warm. It's about 50 degrees. It ain't warm. And the wind is real hard.
So it makes it even colder.
Colder, right. Right.
So we got storms trying to build up. I guess it's the last of the monsoon. So it's raining or storming every day. I don't think that we'll get knocked off. Wasn't supposed to be as bad as it was the other day when it took the power out.
Right.
But it built up and was stronger than they thought it was going to be. This is supposed to be raining on and off, nothing serious. I don't see her coming into this room.
She's probably not feeling well. She got the flu.
I know Sister Lorraine's not going to come on. She already said she wouldn't be here. But Sister LaGracia. Yeah, LaGracia. She was in the other room. But I don't see her coming over here. I sent her a text and let her know that we changed rooms. But I don't see her coming yet. Let me see if I can call her. If not, we'll go ahead and get started. We still have enough of a quorum so we can still conduct business. Our bylaws. Hey, did you get my message saying that we were going to be in a different room? Different conference ID. The conference ID is 40068. Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, she was still in the other room. Okay. So we'll give her another couple of minutes. We shouldn't be here this long this evening anyway. I don't have a whole lot. As I said, I would do the research on the financial institutions.
Uh-huh.
And I did the research on the time sharing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we don't want to go down that road.
Oh, okay.
So I'll explain.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, because they may have a state and they're owning it.
They're owning the time share, but they would not have a say in the property. They wouldn't have a say how things rank.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, they don't. They will become part of like a, let's say, a homeowners association, something like that, an organization like that. But they wouldn't have a say in the day-to-day runnings of the property or what direction it would go.
Okay, well, wouldn't we make more money without the timeshare?
No, we'd actually, well, that's why I'm not doing it, because, yeah, we would, and there's a couple of reasons. No, you would actually make more money with the timeshare. But because of what it is, because of what it is and how it works, it's not something that we want to do, because we would really not make the money that we think we were going to make.
Right.
And and because they do have ownership, and they would have a certain amount of ownership, you know, forever.
Right.
And so I decided that no, it's not the one of the vehicles that we wanted to use. It would not be to our benefit. And a lot of people are, you know, trying to get out of timeshares right now.
Right. Yeah, I know my sister told her.
Yeah, well, see, a lot of people don't want to pay the maintenance fee forever.
Right.
And hold on. Yeah, a lot of people don't want to keep paying the monthly service fee, the maintenance fee. And so you can actually go out there and you can buy timeshares for little next to nothing. Not because people are trying so hard to get out of
them. Right.
And you know, from a developer or an investor standpoint, yeah, you would want to do it, but people, from the research that I found, people did not want to keep paying the monthly maintenance fee. No, it's actually a yearly maintenance fee. So you can go out there and buy timeshares right now that people may only be selling just for the maintenance fee.
Uh-huh.
And they might have spent $50,000 on it, but the, you know, the yearly maintenance is $600. They don't want to keep paying it, so they sell it for that amount.
Right.
Just so they can get from under it.
Right.
So after I look at everything like that, I was like, okay. If people go out there and do the research like I did, then they'll come back and say, no, that's okay. What it would take us, if we could do it time sharing, people bought into it, if it was still a good thing, what it would take us 25 years to do, we could do in a matter of however fast it took us to what, do sell out all the time shares. And so if we could do it in a year, then we could do in 1 year what we what it will take us renting to do in 25 years. That's how much more profitable the timeshare is. But, you know, the thing is that, yeah, that doing it that way is on the decline.
Okay. So the timeshare is no longer on the table.
Yeah, no, we're not. We're going to vote on it, but I'm going to recommend, after doing the research, that we not include that as a option to do this. That we don't, you know, pursue that leg or that option anymore. I'm going back into the scriptures. And I want to look at, I know the Most High just had Israel, he's assigned Israel land, and that was their possession, each tribe their possession. I do want to make it to where people who actually buy into it, like you guys and anybody else that comes in and buys into it, that if they have a family member that is willing to live by the rules of the community and they want to will it to them, that you could will your, let's say, your property and your dome to them, and they would just be able to come in, but they would, you know, they would have to understand that it comes under these conditions, and, you know, there is not something that you would be able to give to them, at, you know, that they could sell it. But, you know, that... let's say that they sold it to somebody else who wanted to live by those conditions, and I'm just talking out the side of my neck right now, but then in the year of Jubilee, we'll go back to the original family. So let's say that you got in trouble and you wanted to sell yours to Sister Denise. And Sister Denise had the ability to be able to buy. She wanted to buy it. So she bought it from you. Then you would have whatever time to redeem it. You know, she wouldn't be able to charge you usury for it. So let's say that you said, oh, I'm just making up something now. You said, oh, I want $10,000 for it. And depending upon how far the Jubilee was out, let's say that it was 10-year Jubilee. Then you could redeem it within 10 years. But according to the law, in the Jubilee, your land is supposed to come back to you no matter what anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And a lot, you know, I think a lot of our people, our forefathers, had the problem with that. You should have been in here by now. Anyway, I'm just looking at different things. Okay. I want to give the right people the right incentive to come.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make it to where whatever investment they have, that it would entitle their family to it, to come and live within the community when they pass or whatever. But at the same time, whomever it is doesn't have, they don't ever have the right, it's not their property right out. So it would never be your or my property right out. But within the community, that would be your property. but you could never sell it outside of the community. Could never sell it to someone who's not going to abide by the rules of the community, and they could never sell it outside of the community to somebody that's not going to abide by the rules. Does that make sense?
Right.
Yeah.
You could will it to, let's say, a son or a daughter, if they wanted to come and stay. They couldn't. They could say, hey, I got an acre in Arizona, but I don't have the right to sell it. So I'm just looking at and what I'm saying to you is nothing in concrete. It's just trying to figure out some type of scheme or mechanism where you're investing or you're giving into the community, and if you have somebody that you know, if we don't have anybody, but you have somebody you would want to deed it to, and your deed would have to, you know, it would have to be a deed that was already crafted saying that, you know, they could come and live on the land, and they could, but they had to follow the rules and become members of the community and abide by everything in the community.
Right.
And they would also have to bring their whatever income they had, because they have to contribute to the community.
Right.
You know, something to that effect. But, you know, I was going to go and look, and then I'd have to sit down and I'd have to pray on it. It would never be an overnight thing. Definitely need the input of the Most High so that this was workable.
Right.
And, you know, lined up with the scriptures so that if it happened, let's say that it happened to pass, whatever land that was deeded to you, if it happened to pass out of your family, that in the Jubilee would come back to your family. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, because that's the way that it is in the scripture. But I haven't, you know, thought this all the way out. I haven't hashed it out. I haven't looked at, you know, how do we control it, so forth. And all right, we're going to go ahead and get started because I've given her everything that she needs and she hasn't made it in here. So let's go ahead and do our statement of faith. And I'm going to make a motion that we call this meeting to order. Do I have a second?
I second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. Let me... So we'll pray in, and we'll do our statement of faith. We'll pray in. And then, Sister Mary, you'll read the minutes from the last meeting.
Okay.
Where am I? All right. Let us do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise.
Wonderful view so they can see the landscape, whether in the tent, in a window at the top so at night they can see the stars. We discussed prices. The dome with furniture costs $26,051. The dome without furniture is $14,675. The furniture for the dome will be $17,000. We talked about getting seven domes, which would be $300,000. The electricity for the dome would be $25,000. The water generator would be $60,000. And the septic system would be $24,600. And that total came to $456,526. We discussed the mortgage of the dome. In the site that we're going to put the domes on. And then we talked about the time sharing, and last week we said we should get back to the time sharing. See if we're going to approve that. That's pretty much all we did, Brother Mike.
Okay. So I make a motion that we adopt the minutes as read. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. All right. So the minutes are adopted as read. And I also sent you back, I said, you know, for spelling and all that kind of stuff, sent you back a correct copy. So you need to download those and keep a copy of them.
Okay.
Okay. Business for this meeting, I said that I would research financial institutions, and I found a couple that we may be able to use to do this. I have not contacted them yet. So that is still up in the air. Also looked at some investors. And try, you know, sort of try to ask around some questions that if we got investors that would invest in this, you know, just what would we have to give up? You know, what share? You know, what percentage of the business they would want? And it seems to fall around 30%. So they would be putting up all the money, and we would be running everything.
Uh-huh.
And they would make 30%. Then I looked at, also looked at if I use my VA to finance this, we still have to find a bank, but the VA would back, you know, would back the loan. But they would only back it for, let's say, four tenths. They won't do over fourplex. So they wouldn't do the whole seven. So I sort of put that on the back burner for maybe using it at a later time to do something else. But, you know, it wouldn't require, whenever we decided to use it, what they do is, let's say, you know, there's no limit on what could be financed. We just have to prove that we can pay for it.
Uh-huh.
And then we wouldn't have to have a down payment. The VA would guarantee any lender 25%, 25% of whatever we were borrowing. That if we foreclosed, that the VA would cover, you know, that 25%. And so lenders look at that and say, okay, well, that could be the down payment or whatever. So you don't need a down payment, but the VA guarantees that amount. So let's say if it was $1 million, then that'd be $250,000 that they would guarantee that they would pay the lender if we foreclosed. So at least be guaranteed to get that amount. Let's see what else. Properties, you know, people who are doing investments. The problem is the people that I know that do investments, the amount of money that we're talking about is too small for them. You know, they'd be looking at investing 70 or 80 million That's what you know, what it would cost for, let's say, or 15 or 20 or 30 million, like if you're trying to put up a hotel or something. That's what they would be interested in. If we were talking about 1 or 2 or 3 million, most of the investors that I know and the other people I know that know, they're not looking to invest. They got deep pockets. And they're looking, you know, they're looking to put their money someplace that, you know, they're going to make money. They don't necessarily have to be an active partner. They could be a silent partner. You know, and they would put up the money. And like I said, we run the business. And as I was, you know, talking with one of the guys, I said, hey, I just want to make sure that however this, you know, if I decided that we were going to go this way, if we voted on it and went this way, that we would have to have provisions that the land and what have you would never leave our control. And no matter what.
So we would have to go with a lender, right?
Usually investors have the money. So they would let's say that we wanted $3 million. They would put up the entire $3 million. Because that's, you know, that's what they're looking to do. They have the money, they're looking to invest it, and they'll say, okay, what type of income are you projecting out of this, you know, every year? And what I want is 30% of whatever that is. And, you know, so they would be, you know, and we might say, I'm sure I'd have to get in more detail in this and deeper, but we could say, you know, that would, they could have 30% until we paid them off. And then they no longer have, you know, would have they would no longer have an interest in the, you know, in the venture. So let's say that we give them 30% and it takes us 5 years to pay them off. Then at the end of 5 years, they're paid off. They would get 30% for 5 years. And then at the end of 5 years, you know, they are paid off. They wouldn't get any, you know, they wouldn't have anything more in it, any more say in it. They wouldn't have any more interest or, you know, say in the company. But as I said, the ones that I know and the people that I know, you know, we'd have to find, I'd have to go out, you know, looking for an investor that was looking to invest to them that little of money. Because they would be looking, like I said, for between 15 and 100 million to invest. So our project is not that big. I do have something in the works that I'm not going to actually bring up that may work out to where someone will loan me say $300,000 cash at 0% interest, and it's to put into the bank so that let's say that once we put the first 7/10 up and they become profitable, that we would use the difference. We would use the difference. We would take part of that and get the 7/10 finance, let's say through a bank, and then we would start generating the income, and then the rest of it, or I could take it in, well, let me just explain one thing at a time. So they would loan me the $300,000, 0% interest. I would take that, put it in the bank, and show it as, you know, money that we have on reserve in the bank. We go to the bank to get a loan, and let's say that we want to do the $400,000. So 30% of the $400,000 would be like $100,000. A third of that would be like $100,000 or something like that. Way less than that, I think. 10% of 40,000 is 40, so 30% will be 120,000. So I'll take 120,000 and say, okay, we want to do these 7/10. 120,000 leaves us financing somewhere around 300,000. That we finance that, we start making money off of it. And then once we're making money, then we go back to them, and ask for a loan of X amount to put up the other 30 domes, if we were going to go that route. And they would, and I think that would come out to something like $2 million or something like that. But we would have the money for them to finance. And the only thing I have to do with this person is, over time, pay them their money back, their $300,000. But they would, you know, looking at loaning it to me as 0% interest to allow us to have the working capital to do it. So that's a possibility. I will let you guys know if that comes about. Then, you know, we'll put it into the bank, and just with that as in the bank, to virtually any bank can ask for like $1.2 million. And with $1.2 million, then we could finance 7/10 plus our own houses that we were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then make the money off of, you know, start using the 7 domes to try to make the money off of to make the payment back to the bank. And I already said that would be like wherever that price is. And over time, also pay my friend back.
That's what I was going to say. The initial
$300,000?
Lender.
Yeah.
The initial lender.
Yeah, it will just be a personal loan to me. Yeah, it would be a personal loan to me. And then I would, you know, put that up and he would be giving it to me for, you know, no interest at 0% interest rate.
Right. So that would be like just a hole in the bank. So let me see.
I mean, if I had to use it as a down payment, we could use it as a down payment. However, you know, if the bank says, how much money do you have down?
Uh-huh.
And if I could say I have the whole $300,000 down.
Right, okay.
And, you know, so they if I come to the bank and say I need a $1.2 million loan, they're going to ask me what, you know, What's my
collateral? So you have.
Yeah. How much money do I have?
Right.
Well, I got $300,000. They'll give us the money. They'll give us a loan because, you know, we're saying that we got $300,000 ourselves.
Right. Okay.
The $300,000, as I said, you know, the 7/10 only going to cost us what, $400,000? So we have $1.2 million. That means that we could actually do the domes that we're talking about for ourselves out of that and pay cash, you know, it'll be a part of that $1.2 million. And then we would be working, you know, making sure that the domes that we are renting out that we worked at so that what, they get rented?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, that would be the business portion of it. We still would be trying to grow our own food and all that kind of stuff. But the income-producing portion of this would be the dome.
Right.
Okay.
So that the lender and the financial part that you're trying to do now with the personal loan, that would be for the domes, right?
Yeah, that would be for the – well, if I got the $300,000, then I would be asking for $1.2 million. That would allow us to do the domes for the glamping, and that would allow us to do the domes, you know, the domes with with the what do you call them? The shipping containers.
Oh yeah. Okay.
For us, that would allow us to do them as well.
Okay.
And then we would just the income portion of this. You know, we wouldn't be making money off the domes that we're doing for ourselves, but we'd be trying to make money off the domes that we're using for glamping.
Right. Okay.
And part of that would be to pay the land off right away, because once we own the land, then there's other options that we have where I can split the land really as many ways as I want once we pay it off.
Right.
We basically
right.
become the developer. So out of the $1.2 million, before in one of our packages I had in there for, you know, like a similar to a bulldozer, but, you know, the blade machine mm-hmm. that we do the roads with and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I had all that equipment included. And so we would go ahead and just purchase that equipment. We would become the developer. So then I would be taking, you know, I would be getting the land rezoned. And we would become the developer, and then I would, you know, turn it out into one-acre parcels,
mm-hmm.
and we would put up the other 30 domes. But we would be responsible for putting in the roads and all that that the county required. So that's what that equipment would be for. And then we would be using the same equipment, you know, for doing the roads and stuff, you know, for our own little community. So, you know, it's just equipment that we would own that we would need.
Right.
Okay. And so we would be able to pay for it in cash. That would include the, you know, the atmospheric water generator and all that.
Okay.
So.
The domes that will finance our shipping containers, huh?
The co-op. The co-op would be paid for in cash by the $1.2 million that we would go for the loan for. Look at it this way. The dome, the seven domes cost $420,000. That leaves us about $800,000. The domes and the camping containers that we were going to put up aren't going to cost us $800,000. So probably another $400,000 or $500,000, which would still leave us somewhere about $200,000 or $300,000. I could turn around and what, repay the original loaner back all the money.
Yeah.
So that we didn't owe that. Or I could take it and reserve some and pay them back part of it, and then, you know, pay them back the rest of it later.
Yeah. I think that would be the best thing to do, because you don't want to pay them all back and then you might need it.
Yeah, well, hopefully we should be making money from the domes, but, you know, it's going to take a minute to build that up to where we are making money.
Right.
So, you know, it's not going to hurt to have some cash in reserve.
Right.
And, and then as we, you know, they would be, we would make our normal payment on the loan.
Uh-huh.
And then, but as we had extra money, because we've already done most of what we were trying to do, we would be making it a priority to pay the initial $300,000 back.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so they would have their money back, and, you know, the favor that they have done for us is pay back, and they're not charging us any interest or anything like that.
Right. All right.
So just some things that I'm working on. And depending upon how it goes down, I would know, should know something within 8 weeks.
Okay, so I'm going to put Brother Miles working on financial part.
And nothing is written in stone yet.
Okay.
That you know, discussions I'm having and things that I'm working at. And yeah, so that, you know, that's where I'm at. Everybody would still have to come in, you know, with their same commitment, saying that this is what they were, what you guys were able to do.
Right.
You know, and we would just put it into the general fund and use it to help pay back loans and to do the other things that we need to do. So yeah, that's where we're at on this. What I've been working on, the Black History side is back up. Yeah, it is back up. Hold on, let me go close my door.
Oh, I know.
So, any questions on what I've said so far?
I don't have any.
Okay. I'm sure right now we're having problems with people coming in and wanting to participate.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is, once we get up and established, I don't think we'll have that problem.
The cult.
Yeah, they're thinking it's a cult. They're thinking it's a lot of them don't want to do anything. You know, until something is up and running,
they don't want to do nothing.
They don't want to do nothing. But, you know, we'll be very, you know, a lot of the same people that I've talked to personally and asked them to be involved, and then they didn't want to be involved, then I probably won't let them be involved later.
Right.
And it's not to fight them or anything, but, you know, I know some brothers that I've talked to who are like, hey, if stuff hits the fan, that's where I'm coming. And I'm like, no, you're not.
Right.
When it takes, you know, all this that it takes to, you know, get this set up and stuff,
right.
You don't want to contribute to it, but then as soon as there's trouble, then you want to run and come, you know,
right.
Come there. No.
That remind me of the you want to help me bake the bread and want me do nothing for the bread, but time the bread is break. Now you want some.
Yeah. Now you want you want to help me eat it.
Yeah.
But no, that doesn't work for me. As soon as stuff hits the fan, they want to have some place to go.
Right.
But getting prepared and doing all that, they don't want to have anything to do with it. So I'm like, okay. You know, I've already told them that's not going to work. If you find yourself out there, just remember, I ain't going to tell you where I'm at.
Right.
I love you, but sorry. That's not fair to anybody that's going to be doing, you know, that's actually
doing
it and helping them do it.
Hard work.
Stop crunching, munching. Stop crunching, munching.
I'm sorry. I've been going all day long and I'm hungry.
But you go ahead on it.
Lucky I ain't get no steak in that. I got some chips.
That's the worst thing to get.
I know.
Especially for me.
Yeah.
And I love chips, but they go to the wrong.
Well, I ain't worried about where they're going.
I am.
Right now, I eat pretty healthy. And so if I eat a little bit of junk here and there, it ain't going to really have that much of an effect.
It's just that I love chips. My father ever bought a that and Cracker Jack.
Hmm. Well, all of this, I have to watch my sugar with it. Because potato chips turn into sugar.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep.
I didn't know that either.
Potatoes, anything that's carbohydrate-based, when you eat it, your body turns it into sugar.
Hmm.
And
no wonder.
Yeah, so.
I have eaten too many potato chips. I don't even like them no more.
Hmm. I hear you.
I know.
Yeah, I can't say that.
You know how I used to eat them.
Yeah, I don't eat them that often. Sometimes if I have a sandwich, I have some chips with them. My thing is French fries.
Right.
I love French fries.
Yeah, that's where I probably have a problem with.
Okay.
I put
and
some French fries.
I love a baked potato with broccoli and cheese.
I don't eat the potatoes and the French fries, but the potato chips.
Hmm. Well, I'm eating out of a bag of Lay's plastic.
Stop it.
But it ain't the big family bag. It's just a little bag.
A little bit.
So, yeah, I had to get something to eat, though, because I was going to get a headache if I didn't.
Right.
Especially
if you haven't ate anything today.
No, and I really hadn't. I got up, I had to go to the base and pick up my meds, and then from there I went and to my father-in-law's house, and I talked to my brother-in-law, and then I talked to some other people. It's been one you know, a long day.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what we're looking at. Any other business? Yeah.
Oh, I can't think. I'm in a cold already because I'm always in class. You in class?
Right.
Yeah.
And if it don't take all that, and my sister said, I don't go there. Right.
Yeah, it you know, when you talk about getting serious, for the most part, most people don't want to get that serious.
Right.
They really don't.
I don't understand, though.
You know, it's their priority is their life.
Right.
And
they're hearing
that. Right. And so if you're talking about, you know, doing anything together, then also it's going to automatically be termed a cult. If you think about the church, nobody really lives in the same neighborhood. They go to the same church, but they don't live in the same neighborhood.
Right. Okay.
And so they're only, for the most part, they're doing their own thing, and they fellowship together.
Right, right.
But you talk about living together and living by the book, then all of a sudden it becomes, oh, you're a fanatic. You know, and so, you know, I get it. I understand it. I was there at one time.
At one time?
Yeah, I was there, and I get it. Yeah, you do have to be careful that what you're doing, that you know what you're doing and who you're doing it with.
Right.
A lot of people that want to do this, they want to do it, but they don't want to be labeled.
Right.
Labeled like.
You're a heretic, or you're a fanatic, or as you said, you're in a cult. But I got to the point where I didn't care about that. Yeah, I'm not caring what they think. I just want, you know, for me, and what I tell them, the bottom line is, I know what God told me to do.
Right.
Okay, and
right.
And I would rather spend my last days on this earth living the life that I know that God wants me to live, rather than being worried about what people are thinking.
Right. Yeah.
Because they're,
you know, they didn't believe Moses either.
Right. And I ain't asking the Most High to turn my hand white for no Negroes. They want a sign, then you have to give them a sign, something else.
Right.
You know, the truth of the matter is, we live in a country that says we have freedom of religion. And we can worship any God we want. We're not tied to worshiping the same God that this country worships. And so, you know, in realizing that there is no way that we should not be worshiping our God the way he says to worship.
Right.
It should not be. Even when I'm talking to brothers, they're talking about, well, you know, we're leaving. I said, well, where are you going?
I know, huh?
Because no matter where you go, it's going to be the same thing, or maybe even worse. Because if you don't care about killing you here, go to some of these other countries.
Right.
You know, where they really don't care about killing you. But, you know, that's not even the issue. The issue for me is simply... It's almost, the word I want to use here. Well, there's a perfect word for this. I guess I can describe it. It's almost like the Most High said, I'm going to put you in a place. I'm going to put you in the belly of the beast. And in the belly of the beast, you're going to be able to worship whatever you want to worship. Let me see if you're going to worship me. So, you know, we are in a land that says, hey, you can worship whatever you want to worship. And we have the book, but we don't choose to worship the Most High the way he says to worship.
All right.
So I don't know what you call that, but I did have a word for it. I don't have it now. But, you know, it's just strange to me. So I can't make anybody do anything, and I'm not trying to make anybody do anything.
Right.
Whosoever have an ear to hear, let him hear.
Let him hear. That's what I say, Brother Miles.
Yeah, let them hear, and if it's for them to do, they'll do it.
Mm.
If it's not for them to do, they won't do it.
They won't do it. That's why I fall on my knees day and night. Thank the Father for allowing me to learn.
That's right.
Amen.
And let him guide me.
He's got to be guiding me.
Yeah, follow that. I don't know what
to do. Amen. Amen. Yeah, because I'll tell you in a minute, follow Yah, don't follow me.
That's right.
Don't follow me. If Yah ain't telling you to do this, then don't be doing this.
He might don't want to.
Right. So whosoever he sent, but you know, I have to put it out. I have, you know, I guess I've been going to Hebrew Connect, and I've been putting it out there. Be getting, you know, some hits. I think that there are not as many people on that site as the owner might say that there is. But I still like it because it's Facebook without all the mess.
Right.
So I'll continue to put it out there.
Facebook got a bunch of men.
Yeah, no, I'm not the one. The gossip and going back and forth and, you know, people just doing living their life out there, and they don't even not really living any type of life, just worldly, doing anything and everything,
everything right.
That the world does.
I'm doing me.
Right.
Bring it on me.
And if that's you, then, you know, then you do you then. You got, you know, you got to answer for you. But I don't want no parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
And people fighting their relationships and everything. Fighting over the kids on Facebook. Love life all on Facebook.
All on Facebook.
All on Facebook. Then they have these little kids. I mean, little kids, about 5, 6 years old, little girls on Facebook checking.
Right.
And checking. Why would you have your baby on Facebook doing it? Why would you do that? Why would you put a kid on Facebook?
That's what I was just saying about the mile.
They ain't got good sense.
Like I was telling my niece, keep them babies off that Facebook. Something happened to them. First thing you want to start hollering and crying. You got them all on Facebook. You don't know what you have to
do. Right. So I don't, you know, everybody in my family, wife and kids included, are out there on Facebook. I'm like, you ain't going to find me out there. Don't put nothing for me out there.
I ain't out there either.
I mean,
no desire to be out
there. Man, what's so crazy? You almost have to go on Facebook to find out if somebody in your family.
What's going on with your family?
Yeah. Oh, because they're living everything out there.
Mm-hmm.
They're living everything
out there. They don't forget they can pick up the phone and say, whatever.
Oh, no, you
see, I posted on Facebook. And then this is crazy to me. It's in your timeline. What's in your timeline? I don't know nothing about all that.
Yeah, well, if you want to know what's going on, you have to learn it. Because that's where they're putting it at.
They're going to put it there. I don't want to know.
Even most of my family.
Father don't tell me. And have me
do it. That's what I want. Amen. My brothers and sisters.
That's the bottom line for me.
Now, my family, my brothers and sisters, they will usually text. They still got their Facebook pages and stuff, but they'll also text everybody in the family, you know. So we just had to have a big discussion about that. Because a lot of people, well, I would say a lot, some of the people in my family didn't want to be getting my text about the lesson. I said, well, here's what we'll do. If you don't want to get these lessons, then you just reply to me in a text, remove, and I'll remove it.
Right.
Because I don't
right.
want you getting them if you don't want to get them.
Yeah, I know that's right.
I'm not here to try to offend nobody or anything like that. So if you don't want to get them, then just reply, because, you know, that people were sending out, you know, they had what was going on is some of the family members put friends out of the group.
Uh-huh.
And what we thought was family only wasn't family only. So I said, hey, I thought these were nieces and nephews that I didn't have their number and stuff. So I was using it that way. But, you know, I sent it out. I think it came back. I might have had 30 people from family. And 5 of them came back and, you know, asked me to remove them. Like, okay, it's not. I told them, I said, because it's not going to be a big thing for me. My
right.
feelings won't
right.
be hurt.
Right.
You don't want to get it. That's fine. I don't want you to get it.
Right.
And so, and then everybody's like, you know, sort of a big argument about what was being sent out to that. Because my nieces and nephews, they be getting into some businesses, and I'm like, but, you know, y'all know, if it's certain types of businesses, I can't support it. tell you what to do, but certain types of businesses I can't support because it's worldly.
Right.
And you're choosing to do it, but I can't support it. So, and I
want you to be ready for Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and all that other crap.
Yeah. I, you know, when they send out stuff like that, I just sort of ignore it.
Me too.
Just don't reply.
I don't reply.
Right.
I don't even say nothing.
Right. Don't reply to it, and you know they're gonna do what they're gonna do.
Right.
They'll be asking for, you know, opinions on stuff depending upon what it is. I said, you know, I don't reply to a lot of stuff because of what it is.
Right. What it is.
And I'm, you know, I love you, but I can't be supporting you in this stuff. And so, I said, I know you, because I got a few gay nieces. And
me
I said,
too.
You know where I stand on that.
Right.
So, it, you know. You know, I love you as a person, but your lifestyle, the most I don't agree with, and I don't.
Right.
You know what they say, Brother Miles? They say, well, you can't help who you love. You're supposed to love everybody, but they didn't tell you have sex with them.
Yeah. Well, my nieces and nephews already know. Because I don't hold nothing back with them. You know what you're doing ain't right.
Right.
And I love you, but your lifestyle, no. I cannot condone your lifestyle. I'm not going to accept your lifestyle. I don't, you know, you're my sister's daughter or whoever. I'm not going to not speak against what you're doing. And you know that. So, you know, not to be trying to ask me for my opinion and something, because you already know what my opinion is.
Right.
And if you are in this relationship, you already know I don't condone it. So if you're having some mess go along with it, you already know, don't bring me in it.
Right.
Because I'm not in it. So they know, and you know, I still love them. I said, but I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. If I don't, I'm in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make you do this, so I'm not trying to make you do it. But I'm still going to tell you. And don't bring it around me.
Right.
Because I'm going to say something.
Right.
If you don't want to say it, don't come around me with it.
Right.
So they know. And I don't know of any, I don't know of any of my nephews that are gay, but I do have a few nieces that are. And I was surprised, but like, okay, I don't know what happened and what made you go down this road, but I didn't grow up around y'all, so I don't know. And ain't nobody telling that, you know, they're in this lifestyle. And I think one of them got married. And I was like, okay, well, you know not to invite me to that wedding.
Right.
But, you know, I still send it out to all of them. I say, hey, if you don't want to receive this, because I want to make sure that you always know that the opportunity for you to repent and come is always open.
No.
It's always open. If you choose to repent and turn away from it. I'm taking too many meds.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I don't want all this on this business meeting. If we don't have any other business, then I'm going to make a motion that
I don't
know. Then I'm going to make a motion that we adjourn this meeting.
I second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. This meeting is officially adjourned. I'm going to turn off the recording. Even that last little bit shouldn't have been on here. But it is what it is. I'm not saying anything I'm ashamed of.
All right.
Stop this.